Good morning, everyone. Thank you for remembering to turn your clocks. And you are not allowed to catch up on that missing hour of sleep until you get home. I'll try to keep you awake during the time we share. Scripture passage that I'd like to read isn't technically the text of the message, but it does bear on what we're going to be talking about. And that's the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, first 11 verses. So let me read it as you follow along. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Father, may we take heed to your word this morning. As we turn our attention in these moments to it, we ask that you would open our minds and hearts that we might gain understanding and wisdom and insight and knowledge, and that that can be put to good use in our lives as the Holy Spirit applies it to us and as we understand how to live according to it. And so, Lord, teach us in these moments, I pray, in Christ's name, amen. First time I ever heard the expression I'm going to share with you in a moment, I heard it from my mother many, many, many years ago. I've heard it from time to time since. I was interested enough, and thank you, Internet, I was able to track it down, that apparently it comes from Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr. The people who do know it best probably today know it more or less, less from him than the fact that Johnny Cash wrote a song with it as its title. And the expression is this. It's talking about people who are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Have you ever heard the expression? So heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. It's meant as an indictment of certain people of faith, especially some Christians. It implies that such people don't really care about the wrongs and the evils and the pains and the injustices of this world. All they care about is the next one. All they care about is heaven and spiritual things. They're not really concerned about fixing the wrongs in our society as much as they are trying to get people saved. Like the Levite and the priest in the story of the Good Samaritan. They're seen as people who just walk by on the other side while the needs go unaddressed right around them. They take the song, the lyrics of the country gospel song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through," to the extent that this world doesn't matter all that much. Now, is that charge true? Are we so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good as believers? Well, I can tell you in my experience of a lifetime working with Christian people, my answer is I haven't met very many people like that in the churches that I've been blessed to be a part of. John Piper, who's a pastor and author, in commenting on this said, I never met one of those people. And I suspect if I met one, the problem would not be that his mind is full of the glories of heaven, but that his mind is empty and his mouth is full of platitudes. What do you really think, John? But I agree with C.S. Lewis, who wrote, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought most of the next. If anything, I would suggest that Christians can become too earthly minded, that they're no heavenly good. In Colossians 3, Paul gives instructions on how Christians are to live, distinguishing features that show that we are who we claim to be. And he begins that chapter by saying this: if you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Is that up there? I can't see him back at me. Okay, good. Good job, Frank. You're hanging with me, buddy. I never had a doubt. But you notice it says there, seek the things that are above. And set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. It would seem that the Apostle Paul would not have agreed with the adage, so heavenly minded, no earthly good. He is calling us to be heavenly minded. Now, what exactly does he mean by that? What exactly does it mean to be heavenly minded? On these Sunday mornings, I've been leading you through some studies that indicate how we are to grow in our Christian life. What are the things we should be doing so that we can continue to grow and mature and be true disciples of Jesus Christ? And so far, we've talked about the fact that the Bible needs to be a prominent part of your life, that prayer needs to be a prominent part of our lives, that gathering together corporately to worship God should be a very important part of our lives. And last week we talked about serving God and serving others in the name of Jesus as being a very important element in our growth as Christians. Today I want to submit to you that to grow spiritually, we have to engage our brains. We need to be thinking people. We need to be knowledgeable people. We need to be people who are always learning. In Romans 12:2, in speaking of how we grow, Paul says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your," is it up there? Mind. The renewing of your mind. I just didn't want to say the renewing of your blank and have you all look at me blank. So that's why. The renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. According to that verse, how do we grow? The renewing of our mind. Isn't that interesting? We might expect perhaps there'd be some other word there. In the passage that we read earlier from Proverbs chapter 2, the word understanding is used 5 times in those 11 verses. The word knowledge was used 3 times. The word wisdom was mentioned 3 times. Insight was mentioned 1 time. So my quick math says that's 12 times in 11 verses there was some reference to the use of the mind as being important. So what does that look like? How do we do that? What do we need to do in order to be renewed in our minds? What do we need to do to have a heavenly mindset, if you will, to be thinking about the right things? I think there are two intentional things that we must do as believers in Jesus Christ in order to acquire the mind of Christ, in order to grow intellectually in terms of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Two things we should do. First, we need to acquire knowledge. We need to learn. God created us with brains. He created us with minds. He created us with the ability to reason, to learn, to grow in knowledge. In fact, I would submit that part of what it means when it says God created man in his image is that he created us as reasoning, rational, thinking creatures, distinguishing us from the animal and plant kingdom that he also created. We are created in his image. We can think, we can reason, we can make choices. We can understand moral right and wrong. It would seem odd then if, having created us that way, he didn't expect us to use our brains, to think, to reason. Contrary to what some non-Christians have said, the Christian faith is not anti-intellectual. The Christian faith is not something where we just kiss our brains goodbye, that it's just blind faith. That's not the case at all. Yes, it is faith, but it's a rational faith. It's a reasonable faith. It's faith in that which makes sense. The more we think, the more we consider knowledge and learn, the more we grow. Growing Christians are rational, thinking, knowledgeable people. I love the story that Bible teacher Howard Hendricks used to tell. He said he had a fellow in his church who was a physician, very well respected, renowned in his field. And he would come to church every Sunday. But he would sit there, basically, walk in, sit there, and kind of sit like that the whole time, never really showing any kind of interest or involvement at all, just kind of sitting there. So Howard Hendricks talked to him one time after church, and just to open the conversation, he said, "Well, did you enjoy medical school?" "Oh, yes, I enjoyed medical school. How were the classes? Were they helpful?" "Yeah, they really were helpful." "Oh, that's good. Did you ever take any notes in them?" "Oh, yeah, I took lots of notes in them." "Did you keep them?" "Oh, yes, I refer to them all the time." He says, "Well, that's great. Ever thought about taking notes here when you came to church?" And he said, "No, I never really thought about doing that." "That sounds like it might be a good idea." And Howard Hendricks said, "Yes, I thought so." "That's why I said it." He said the next week the fellow came and started taking notes. And he noticed something happen. Week after week after week, the fellow would come to church and continue to take notes. And every week this fellow would end up calling Dr. Hendricks and saying, "Pastor, I have a question." And he just kept asking questions. And as he continued to ask questions, and as he continued to take notes and involve himself in the learning more about the faith, the man grew and grew and grew and grew in his spiritual life. The more we learn about God, the more we'll love him. The more we'll serve him. The more we'll live his way. The more we'll want to tell others about him. The more effective our prayer life will be, our church life. The more we grow in our understanding and knowledge of the things of God, the more we will grow spiritually. So my question is this morning, What do you presently do to grow in your Christian knowledge? What intentional steps do you take to learn? To learn more about the Bible, more about your faith, more about living out your faith and all of the rest. According to a recent poll, only 1/3 of church-going Christians, it's not the general population, church-going Christians, 1/3, only 1/3, read the Bible once a week. No wonder we don't know and we're not growing up with God. A few years ago, I won't say which church it was, but I was pastoring a church where people in the church would sign up to read the scripture on Sunday morning. I'd choose the scripture like I chose Proverbs today, but instead of my reading it, people would come and they'd do the reading. They'd sign up for it. And this one woman signed up for this particular day. And I came in early, and she was in early, sitting in her usual place. And I saw her thumbing through her Bible. And she seemed kind of distressed, so I walked up to her and I said, is everything okay? She says, I can't find the scripture you chose. And I said, well, I'm sure it's in there. Let me take a look. And she's got the table of contents in the front, you know, and looking, and she says, it happened to be in the book of Revelation that I was preaching that day. And she said to me, she says, my Bible doesn't have Revelation. And I said, I'm pretty sure it does. So I looked and I went down, and of course, as you all know, Revelation's the last book in the Bible. And I said, there it is right there. And she said, huh, I never knew that was in there. This is a woman who'd been attending that church for probably 4 or 5 decades. A woman who had been coming to church all those years. And I could understand it if she couldn't find Habakkuk. Revelation? Isn't the phrase from Genesis to Revelation ever been said? It means in all of those years, apparently, she's never read it. And I know for a fact there have been sermons over the years from it in that church. For many, the only weekly instruction they get in the Bible and things of the Christian faith are 1/2 hour on a Sunday morning. And that's not enough. It's good, but it's not enough. Besides Bible reading and sermons, what other ways are you developing your Christian mind? Books, reading, articles online, online courses. There's tons of them. You want to grow in your faith? They're free. You don't even have to pass a test. Radio programs, discussions with others, Bible studies, all of those things. What are you intentionally doing to learn more about your faith and about the Bible? It's a question we should be asking ourselves. The second thing we need to intentionally do, besides acquire knowledge, is to fill our minds with the right stuff. There's an expression in computer lingo, G-I-G-O, you know what it is? Garbage in, garbage out. That if you you input bad stuff, the output's also going to be bad. The output's determined by what you put in. The same principle is true of our minds. Garbage in, garbage out. What goes in will come out. If ugly stuff goes in, then ugliness is going to come out. If beautiful stuff goes in, beautiful things will come out. Paul wrote in Romans 8, Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh delivered. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. What are we putting into our brains? The mind is a repository of knowledge. And knowledge affects our attitudes and our behaviors. Have you ever had the experience of saying something and saying to yourself, where'd that come from? Well, somewhere along the line, it got put in there. And it's amazing how it comes out sometimes. All of you who have children know this. You ever realize you were kind of singing in your brain a song, the words you had knew all the words and you hadn't thought about it in 50 years? It's in there. The stuff we put in there stays in there. Sometimes we have trouble remembering the important stuff that we put in there, especially the older we get, but it's in there. So what do we fill our minds with? Two things, I think. First, we need to fill our minds with the Word of God. Again, sound like a broken record, but that's what we need to do. In Psalm 1, we read that the blessed man's delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Not hit or miss, sporadic, once in a while, only on Sunday mornings. On that law he thinks, meditates day and night. Systematic, intentional, time-consuming, thoughtfully. But we also need to fill our minds with his virtues. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You know, there are certain programs and movies I don't watch. And there's certain music I don't listen to. And there's certain activities I don't involve myself in. And it's not because I'm a self-righteous legalist. And it's not because I'm some kind of prude. I just don't want that stuff in my mind. I don't want it there. I don't want to put it in there. Because it'll stay there, and it'll have its effect. There's so much in this world that is beautiful, so much that God has given us to fill our minds with, that go along with the categories that we just read in Philippians 4:8. Beneficial stuff. Stuff that's going to help us in our spiritual growth and not hinder it. What are we filling our minds with? If you were to be a fly on the wall at the Clark House, you would notice, at least in my study area, you would notice that probably classical music's playing in the background. And if you were going to ride with me in my car, you'd notice that I have classical music playing in my car. Now, I happen to like classical music, but that's not the only reason. I have it on because it is a reminder to me that with all of the ugliness in this world, there's something beautiful. And I would rather focus on what is beautiful than what is ugly. Now, you don't, classical music may leave you cold. That's fine. I'm not trying to convince you. to listen to what I listen to. My point is just simply, where are you going to find beauty in this world to fill your minds with? The things that Paul mentions in Philippians that we just read. For some, it may be out in the woods or at the seashore or somewhere in the beauty of nature. For others, it may be poetry or art or whatever it might be. Filling your minds with the kind of things that Paul mentions makes a difference. If I had a glass here and I was showing you, and there was nothing in it, and I asked you if it was empty, you'd probably say yes. But it's really not, is it? There's air in there. But if I am to pour water in there, what happens to the air that was in there? It's out, right? The more of the good stuff we put into our brains, the more the bad stuff is pushed aside, and hopefully even pushed out. So what do you fill your mind with? Too heavenly minded, no earthly good, not according to the Bible. Bible says, be heavenly minded. And are you developing that heavenly mindset? Are you headed in that direction? Do you have more knowledge of the faith in the Bible than you did a while ago? And how are you going to do that going forward? Those are questions we all should be asking ourselves. Because God seems to make it very, very clear that he wants us to use our minds to fill our lives with the knowledge of God so it will affect everything in our lives and help us to grow closer to him. I'm going to close with just reading a verse from an old hymn. It's not in our hymn book. It's not in most modern hymn books. And it's too bad because the words are pretty powerful. Are they up there? They are. I was going to ask you to read in unison with me. That's why I asked if it was up there. Okay? Take thou our minds, dear Lord, we humbly pray. Give us the mind of Christ throughout each day. Teach us to know the truth that sets us free. Grant us in all our thoughts to honor thee. Amen. Let's close our service by singing what